I appreciate the opportunity of being with this congregation this weekend. It was a great workshop. That was number 20, and I've never had people who participated better. They had done their homework, read two books. Elders had worked on their elders' rules, and they participated in a great way. Elders, staff, and spouses, and just a joy to be with you. One of the things I ask when I get to a congregation, and so I'll ask you, that's just something I do, and especially when we're emphasizing leadership, how long has it been since you had an elders' appreciation party? And you don't have to answer out loud, just think about it. How long has it been since you had an elders' appreciation party? It's my observation that probably we can improve in obeying what Paul commanded in 2 Thessalonians 5, verses 12 and following. He said, "We urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you and to esteem them very highly in love for their works' sake. Be at peace among yourselves." And I think all those are connected. We urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you, who are over you in the Lord and admonish. Esteem them very high. Well, I don't agree with all the stuff they do. He didn't say esteem them if you agree with everything they do and every decision they make. Esteem them for their works' sake. I've seen different levels of effectiveness in elders over the nearly 60 years that I preach, coming up here June the 18th. And some of you will remember that date, I'm sure. And I can hardly wait to June the 18th. I've noticed that over nearly 60 years of preaching. Some are more effective than others. But I don't remember an eldership that I've worked with who did not work. They met, they visited, they worked. And so esteem them for their works' sake. And I just like to have elder appreciation parties. I discussed that my last full-time work was with Bears Chapel Church in Franklin, Tennessee. And when I went, started studying the church, and they had conflict for 10 years, every 2 years. There, we talked a lot about rules. One of their rules was we have fuss every 2 years. They had the fuss of 86, fuss of 88, fuss of 90, fuss of 92. I came in 93. They had the fuss of 95 after I got there. And on Father's Day of 95, two out of three of our elders resigned. We were without an eldership. It had been a rough, rough time. Went through a process, in fact, the best I've ever seen, went through a process of selecting new elders. And we selected, and there were ordained four new elders who had never served a day in their life. And they were very effective in what they did. They realized it was difficult. They said, "We're going to do two things during our first year. Number one, we're going to read everything the Bible says about elders, about shepherds, bishops, overseers, whatever the name the Lord uses. We're going to read what it says, and we're going to attempt to the best of our ability to do what God tells us to do. And number two, we're going to try to learn how to get along with each other." And they worked hard on that. And it was amazing what happened. Things started coming together. As it says here, be at peace among yourselves. We had peace. And you know what we did? 1 year from the third Sunday in November of 95 and 96 on the third Sunday in November, we had an elders' appreciation party on Sunday night after services. We were just so thankful. We're kind of scared. In fact, I told them, somewhat tongue-in-cheek, I didn't know if I was going to trust them. Anybody take a job like that when it's in the biggest mess as it was, I don't know if I'd trust them to have the wisdom to do the work. But they did it and did an excellent job. And we had a party. Somebody found some red carpet somewhere. And in our activity building, we rolled out the red carpet and we had to walk in on that. We had a basket where people wrote notes of appreciation. We gave each of our elders' wives a dozen red roses, and we just had a party, and we thanked them. And then at a later time, we just said, you know, we hadn't had an elders' appreciation party lately, and some of the deacons started taking up money and contributions, and we sent each of our elders to Opera Land Hotel for the weekend just to have a party and say, you are loved by your people at Barry's Chapel. And then on the 10th anniversary of the Fuss of 95 in 2005, on the third Sunday in November, we had an elders' appreciation party. And we just celebrated being 10 years fuss-free. Man, that was. I told them after we had gone 2 years, I said, anything over this, if we have a fuss in 3 years or 4 years, we're still going to have a party because we're spreading them out a little more. See, sometimes you have to recognize small increases in effectiveness. But we had a 10-year party. And so let me encourage you to do that. I went to one congregation and I asked them, how long has it been since you had an elders' appreciation party? And they said, well, I never had one. We don't appreciate our elders. And so that was the way they responded. Now, here's something that's interesting. We talked a lot about that this weekend. You know, one of the most powerful ways that elders lead is through example. My theory is, if you see anything in the congregation that you don't approve of and you think needs to be better, start working on that in yourself and really try to model what you think is the right attitude and right action for Christians. And if you do that consistently in 30 or 40 years, the congregation will be following you. They'll just follow your example. I've seen it happen time after time after time. Well, that's what they told me at this congregation. A few years later, we were in an elders' meeting. And one of the former elders came in a little late, and he said, I got something I need to share with you. And he handed out a letter, and he said, because of health and other considerations, I have decided to resign as an elder of this congregation. He had served 30 years. And the elder said, oh, no, don't do that. And they gave him the polite resistance and then accepted his resignation. He left. And I said, what kind of party are we going to have? Tell me what your rules are here. What kind of party? They said, what are you talking about? I said, this man has served 30 years as an elder. We need to have a party and say, thank you, thank you, thank you. They said, oh, we don't do stuff like that. I said, y'all, surely you do. 30 years, we need to have a party and thank him. I said, okay, what kind of plaque are you going to give him? They said, we're not going to give him any plaque. I said, 30 years, surely you need to do something to say thank you for your service. They said, no, we're not going to do that. You start giving out plaques and parties for people to resign, everybody want to resign. We know. And so they did absolutely nothing. What a shame. 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, whichever Thessalonians it is, 1 Thessalonians 5 said we need to recognize those and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Well, nothing you can do. Yeah, there's something we can do. Gail cooked a delicious meal. We invited him and his wife out to our house. We bought them a nice book and wrote a letter of appreciation, and we had an elder's appreciation party at our house, 756 Woodland Way in Nashville, Tennessee. I can do what I need to do, and I don't have to have an elder's decisions to do that. We just had our own party. But we need to express that appreciation. We're going to be looking this morning, but the topic of our lesson is, what do you talk about at your last elder's meeting? If you, as an elder or a preacher or whoever attends elders' meetings, if you were to go and you know this is going to be the last elders' meeting you would ever attend, what would you say? Think about it. I often say, what would you say except whoopee, whoopee, whoopee? Some people really dread elders' meetings. I kind of find them kind of interesting. Well, we know what one person said at the last elders' meeting. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. He had been talking about them. Verse 17, he sent to Ephesus and asked the elders, come on down to the seacoast. I haven't got long here. I'm going to get off the boat and we need to chat a while. And they came down and he just started reminiscing. Here's the way he had acted among them, and he kept back nothing that was helpful, proclaimed it to you, taught you public from house to house. He said, indeed, now I know that you all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God will see my face no more. This is our last elders' meeting. For I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. He said, take heed therefore to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Powerful verse. Paul said, I just want to tell you your responsibility and warn you about some things that are coming up. And he said, take heed to yourselves, take heed to yourselves, take heed to yourselves. That's where you start as an elder. You don't start with getting the congregation straightened out. You take heed to yourselves. And I think that needs to be done individually. It needs to be done collectively as a group. We talked about that this weekend. It has been my observation that when shepherds will better shepherd the sheep. But if shepherds don't shepherd, shepherds probably won't shepherd the sheep. And I've seen that excellently done in one or two congregations, not a lot. You know what most elders do? It's just observation from 60 years preaching. Hadn't been exactly 60, but it will be June 18th. What most elders do is they take care of business and they make decisions. I listen to prayers. What do we pray for in our elder meeting? For our elders. A lot of times, Lord, bless our elders as they make their decisions. Well, they're supposed to make some decisions, but I'm not sure that is the primary job of elders. What kind of air conditioner we're going to have and how wide a cut we're going to get on our lawnmower. No, I don't think that's a number one priority. But we need to ask our Lord to bless our elders as they shepherd and as they oversee the flock. And when we had the fuss of 95 at Barry's Chapel and we had our new elders, they said, one of the things we're going to do at our meetings, we met once a month, one of the things we're going to do, we're going to take care of each other. And we had, it was just a code label on our agenda called leadership relationships. And what we did, we went all the way around the table. Every preacher and every elder would say, would answer the question, how's it been at your house the last 30 days, the last month? And we just go around and tell if it's been good, been bad, a little of both. We'd just tell about it and we'd pray for each other. And most of the time, it's just kind of simple. Well, we just had a good time with our family for Christmas, and everything's going fine. Had a granddaughter that had COVID, but she's got over that. But things going well now. But here's the one that stands out in my mind. 1 month, we were meeting, and we came around, and we came to this particular elder, and he said, okay, in the last month, since we met the last time, my wife had her third back surgery. We wish she had never had the first. She's in worse pain now than she's ever been. As you know, Daddy died. Mother's not able to take care of herself. We've moved Mama in with us. Last week, my wife was diagnosed with breast cancer. I got fired on Friday. Let's pray. And we did. Barber, not Bible, observation. Every bit of that stuff is going to come out in every elders' meeting. That's going to be churning on the inside. I've often said, what if that had been the meeting where, as we did a few years after that, we were going to build a $1.3 million educational edition. They asked the elders and preachers to say, here's what I plan to give over and above my regular contribution for this project. How do you think that fellow would have responded, and what will we have said? He said, I can't give anything else. I ain't got a job. I don't know what I'm going to do. And see, there would have been that hesitation, but if you just talk about it, it doesn't have to come out in other ways. I think it's better to talk it out than to act it out. I think that what shepherds do ideally is practice on each other. They take care of each other in the great moments of ecstasy in their life and in their families and the deep, dark valleys of despair. And in doing that, they're practicing on each other. They have a relationship where they compliment and criticize and say, here's the way you might improve that. And they do that. They get better and better and better. So it's real easy when the members come. But if elders won't talk about those kind of things with each other, why in the world do you think that another 200 or 300 folks would come in and tell you their stuff and you don't even talk about it yourselves? And so, when shepherds will better shepherd the sheep. But if shepherds don't shepherd shepherds probably won't shepherd the sheep. So I highly encourage that. But there's something else that shepherds need to do, and that is they are overseers. They are the supervisors, the managers, the CEOs of that local congregation. And when overseers oversee overseers will better oversee the church. But if overseers don't oversee overseers probably won't oversee the church, which means they keep each other in line. Sometimes an elder gets out of line. Paul says some of your elders are going to get out of line. And he admonishes them in that. He says, for I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also among yourselves, men will rise up speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after themselves. And so he says, brethren, you need to work on that. You need to be aware of that and don't overlook yourselves, because I tell you where the problem is going to come in the church at Ephesus. It's an inside job. Among yourselves is where the problem is going to come from. And so you need to work on that. So it's been a good weekend. We're going to ask our elders to come up and give a mustard seed. One of our first rules was don't learn very much. And so they're not going to talk very much, but they're going to give us a mustard seed. I'd like for all elders to come and stay here till everybody gets through. Everybody come on up and stand up here and then just keep standing there, because we're going to do the next exercise after we get through with that. Go right ahead.
We go alphabetical order.
You go. You're the elders.
We'll go backwards in alphabetical order. Since Dan is not here, that puts me at the end of the line. And we sure did miss Dan being there this weekend. He's had some stomach problems, and we sure missed him being there. We really want to thank Jerry for being here this weekend. It's kind of overwhelming. He has got so much knowledge about how to handle different things, and it's just been a blessing for us. And not only that, it's been a blessing for us to be with our ministers and their families. And so it's just been great, a great weekend. But my mustard seed is this. Jerry showed a video in part of the sessions, and the video was of his great-grandson, Connor. At 2 years old, it showed the bit on the video, his great-grandson, it almost looked like he had a brick on his back. And they had took him to Dallas, was it Dallas, to do the surgery. And they put a rod in his back and pins in there. And you can imagine thinking about a 2-year-old having to go through that. And the point was that Jerry was emphasizing was, once the surgery was done and he came out of surgery and they began to work with him to walk, and the pain that he had to go through. And Jerry asked the question, why would parents put that child through that pain to where he can get better? And I want you to think about that. As I thought about that, I think about us as spiritual people. Sometimes we have to go through pain to get better. Jerry mentioned a lot this weekend about enjoying criticism. And I don't think any of us really enjoy that. But sometimes criticism helps us. And sometimes we need to hear things. And we want you to always come to us. Because we want to hear it. Because we want to be better. And that was my mustard seed.
When we were doing some of our read ahead, one of the books was specifically about leadership and different traits of leadership. And I'm reading this, and just to be quite honest, I'm saying, you know, there's really not a lot in here that I have not experienced or learned through 30 years of being a military officer and being a manager. And I've often looked back and referred to my military career and said my best 2 years was when I was a commander of a drill sergeant battalion. And it wasn't because I was the commander, but it was because of the people I worked with. And they were some of the most professional soldiers that I ever worked with. And so when we went through this seminar, my mustard seed is not so much something I learned versus a feeling that I had. And that feeling was blessed. Blessed because of my fellow elders that I work with, and we strive to do God's work, to be servants and shepherds to you. Of the ministers that we work with and their dedication, and also our spouses. We are blessed to have our spouses who stand by us and are leaders within their own respect. And the reason that we are most blessed is that we have an opportunity to shepherd you and this congregation and its members and the work that we strive to do for His kingdom here in Decatur, Alabama.
I actually got my nugget pretty early on Friday night. One of the things Jerry said, and I don't know that he meant it as a nugget, but it hit home with me and was important. He made a simple statement: the Lord deserves excellence. I immediately wrote that down. It hit me so hard. I keep thinking, you know, we always say, I try my best, and that's what's important. We should try our best in everything that we do. Matter of fact, Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10 said, whatsoever my hand findeth to do, thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave, whither thou goest. So as an elder, as a minister, as a deacon, as a teacher, as any member of this congregation, we should always try to do our best at whatever we're doing, whether it's teaching, singing, any aspect of our work. But I also think that means we should keep striving to improve. We should keep striving for excellence. The Lord's work deserves excellence. Thank you for that nugget, Brother Barber.
As the new guy, this was a great opportunity for me to begin learning some things and to think about some things more deeply. I think one of the little mustard seeds that I got was that elders aren't in charge of the thermostat. But it involved a lot more than that, because we didn't really discuss that very long, but we discussed what elders are to do. And I'm still trying to come to grips with the responsibilities of being an overseer, and even more so being a shepherd. So this was a good weekend that had the opportunity to get to know one another better, to discuss our responsibilities and how we can do those better. And I know I speak for myself, and I'm sure I speak for the other four, that we really request and beseech you for your continued prayers.
Thank you. I hope you're proud and appreciate your elders for spending the time. Some of we had our criticism time. One of the suggestions was we need to stand up more often. It gets old after 12 hours just sitting in the same place time after time after time. So they put in a lot of work. But thank you for the mustard seed. I don't know about you, but my forgettery works better than my memory, and I need something to remind me of what I need to be doing, keep you on target. So I have something here I want you to... You're overseers, so you need to be able to make those decisions. We pray for you to make those decisions, and you need to do a good job of that. So I want to give you that and share that with your other elders. And so be sure you make those decisions. You oversee. You let the deacons deek, and you shepherd and do all of that. But also remember that one of the great responsibilities you have is that you're the shepherd. You're the shepherd. And one of the books that they read was The Way of the Shepherd. Quite a small book, but powerful. This book does not have one scripture in it. How about that? And I ask all the elders to read it. But it is powerful in talking about the way to be a great leader. And that was not original with the authors of this book. It came from Jesus. And so let me ask one of you to take it, and maybe you want to put it where you have your elders' meetings to remember that you need to be shepherds of the flock. Thank you for doing that. You may be seated. As soon as we say amen, if all the elders and wives, we don't want to be rude, and anything, but if all the elders and wives will line up here, we need one photographer to use your phone and make a class picture of everybody who was here. What do you say at your last elders meeting? Paul said, let's just think about our relationship. And here's what he said, verse 32. So now, brethren, he's reminisced, he's warned them. Now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. He said, stick with the word. Stick with the word. He said, remember Jesus' words, verse 35. I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Don't ever forget that. There's nothing wrong with receiving. I love to preach on giving. Some preachers say they don't like it. I love to do it. Love to give. Why in the world would I not want to encourage folks to enjoy one of the greatest blessings they can have? Love to preach on giving. But I also have a sermon that I preached on, let's hear it for receiving. Whoopee, whoopee, whoopee. So I love to receive. And one of the reasons is because if I don't receive, I can't give. And so there's nothing wrong. Jesus didn't say receiving is bad. He said if you had to compare the two, giving and receiving, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And so be sure, since we're receiving abundantly, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, comes down from the Father of lights. As you're receiving, remember it is more blessed to give than to receive. Verse 37. Verse 36. And when he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. Leaders need to pray together. And so at the last elders' meeting, they said it's time to pray. Verse 37. Then they all wept freely and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him. We need to be able to talk about our emotions as well as the spreadsheets. and the budgets, and how many dollars and cents goes here and how many goes over there. And here we see at this last elders' meetings, we see these leaders walking with the team members through life changes. Verse 38, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spoke, that they would see his face no more. And they accompanied him to the ship. They walked just as far as they could without getting in the water. And probably waved as he went off into the distance. Last elders meeting. We'll never have Paul and another's elders meeting. Paul said, I'll never be with these elders anymore. You've been a blessing to me. And so that's what they did at their last elders meeting. And you know what? That's not a bad idea for every elders meeting. Be thankful for your leaders. And esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. And be at peace among yourselves. Today, if you've never obeyed the gospel of Christ, we talked in our Bible class about grace. Everybody has been extended grace. Don't receive it in vain. Don't just let it lay around somewhere. Knowing what you ought to do and not do it. If you know that Jesus is the Christ, be willing to place your faith in him. Repent of your sins. Confess his name. Be buried with him in baptism. Be raised to walk in newness of life. If you've never done that, we'd like to encourage you and assist you. If you need to rededicate your life to the Lord, you have that opportunity now as we sing.